I understand. I was a girl like you when people turned on me. You don't think I longed for a noble path? I've lived a life of exile. No country, no village, no family. We are the same.
But whoever it is very deep, and you delivered it beautifully. I can't picture. Can't picture. Country. Like, so that makes me think it's like an epic kind of like fantasy movie, knights, perhaps.
I'll give you just a little bit more. The person responds, "We're not the same." And then this witch replies, "We are. The more power I showed, the more I was squashed." Yes. Tell it.
It's not Maleficent, is it? Someone in like the live-action Maleficent movie?
Nope, not that one.
Not that one. Oh. Does that mean it's a live-action reboot of a cartoon? I have no idea. I'm embarrassed. I can't wait to hear who this is because...
This is Xian Niang, played by Gong Li. She is the witch from the live-action Mulan.
I cannot... And I'm ashamed. I am ashamed to admit this to the Charmies. I know Rob watched it. And Mulan, by the way, is my favorite Disney movie. And I have still yet to see this live action reboot, even though Rob said it was decent.
It's decent for me. You hold it to a certain standard, so you're probably not going to like this movie. I think that whatever you think, as far as your opinion on this movie, what can not be denied is that this witch character in this movie is great, underused, and a nice touch. Now, some people might look at her as a replacement of sort of the supernatural element of Mushu, which is totally fair. And some people may just be like, why is she in this? I don't get it, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, the woman is saying gospel in this. There is a bunch. So the scene basically is her trying to convince Mulan to join forces. And she's just like, girl, they don't like you. They ain't never going to accept you. Like, the minute they find out the truth, they will exile you. Like, you need to just take charge of your own shit. And... yeah, so like that's their conversation was actually pretty good, and I liked her character, but again, underused and didn't live up to a full potential. But she was very dominant in the story, and I actually do like the switch. So thank you, Gong Li, for bringing this character to life. That was from Mulan.
Mushu. This is
never,
I love him. Never could be replaced.
I know. This is Brunch with the Hollowells. I'm here with Ryan. Thank you once again for joining me on this recap.
Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely, definitely. We are doing I Dream of Phoebe. This is episode 15, and this is fresh off from finding out about Chris Perry, now known as Chris Hollowell, ? So some of you may know this. If you guys are currently on Patreon, we just released a Mother's Day episode for anyone who is a witch and powerful, that we celebrated Mother's Day by honoring some of the moms on Charmed and other motherly moments. Coming up as a bonus episode, you will know that tomorrow, May 17th, is actually the 20th anniversary of Prue's demise. That's right, she died 20 years ago on May 17th. And as a suggestion from one of our patrons in the attic, we have decided to have sort of a bonus episode in celebration of Prue's character as well as Shannon Doherty. And thank you, patron Julia, for suggesting this for us.
Yes, thank you.
Ryan loves Prue, so he actually took lead on this episode, and so this
lead
is
witch.
All This is all him. And so, yeah, if any of you are interested in listening to this episode, it will be available to everyone tomorrow, May 17th. You will have to go to patreon.com/BWTH podcast to listen to the episode. But if you don't manage to catch it, unfortunately, after tomorrow, it will be locked and you can gain access by joining the Attic for at least $3 a month or higher. So, yeah.
And I wrote like an essay, so, and then it went crazy and it was all over the place, but it was fun.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was a nice way to kind of pay tribute to her. So we heard a lot of Ryan's favorite moments, and it was a really good episode. So yeah, check out the page, see if you like what you see. And again, there are other different awards that you can gain access to as well, not just bonus episodes. So that's again patreon.com/BWTH podcast. All right, should we get started?
Yes.
Original air date is February 15th, 2004. This was written by Curtis Keel and directed by J.T. Kretschmer. Guest stars include Balthazar Getty as Richard Montana, unfortunately his last episode. Saba Hamayoun as Jenny, and Mark Declan as Bosk. Jason Shaw back is Greg. I forgot Greg came back. I thought that
I was waiting. I think he had one more. I knew it was there somewhere.
I thought the fire truck was the last one. Okay. And then we have Amanda Sickler as Sophie and David Green back again as Steve Montana, Richard's brother.
Okay. So Chris meets Phoebe at the newspaper. He is desperate because a number of fortune tellers and soothsayers have told him that he is to be conceived this month and he will cease to exist if it doesn't happen. Phoebe blames him for the separation of Leo and Piper. Chris argues that he had to become the sister's white lighter to protect Wyatt. Phoebe picks up a letter to her column and gets a premonition of a woman being attacked by a demon. So I do love the cute intro, Rob, where she thinks that Chris called her nephew. The little slip to remind viewers that, yes, we did find out that Chris was Piper's future son, in case you forgot, wink wink.
But this also reminds people that this woman still can't keep a secret to save her life. She just let that crap slip onto her assistant like butter. Like, it just slipped off the tongue. It was no effort needed for her. That's just hilarious.
Do you think it's just because they're so used to just all the shenanigans and craziness that happens with Phoebe that she probably is like, oh, they don't even... It's just another thing I say. It's just whatever.
Probably.
I gotta give it to Chris. You know I never really defend him, but I gotta say, he's right. Phoebe helps strangers all the time. Yes, this was the reason. We were just discussing another episode that, you know, Chris was the one that broke them up, but I guess this is all he could come up with in the time that he had, and this is the way it happened. And it is her nephew, and Phoebe's so big. Yeah, give him a little bit of, you know, hell for it, but, you know, help him. I mean, is there a question that you're not going to help him?
He, like, de-aged about 10 years, calling them mom and dad. Every time he says it, he sounds like 10 years old. It's the cutest thing. But, you know, I love the fact that if I am going to help you, I'm going to rant first because you broke them up. I mean, honestly, Phoebe laid it down. You broke them up. You and your stupid shenanigans, you know, oh, I had to be a white lighter and yada yada. I don't know what you expected to happen. Like, you broke them up. But yeah, it was nice for her to just let it all out and be like, look, you did all of this and now it's my problem that I gotta fix. And, you know, I gotta get those two to smash. Like, come on.
You know, I mean, take the sex part out of it, like the awkwardness of, okay, they have to have sex really relatively soon after all this. But, you know, I feel like Phoebe would never give up on Piper and Leo being together. And this should just be a part of her, like, journey to get them together again in the future.
Well, definitely. No, I totally get it. So that premonition that you saw of Boss attacking some lady, mental picture, people, this is it. This is the last on-screen premonition of the entire series. Now, for those who have not seen the show, yes, it's a little bit of a spoiler. Premonitions are no more. This is after she saw the spiritual chick about trusting her own like powers and stuff. Like, and then this crap happens. Like, what was the point of that spiritual journey if, bam, she just like loses? Well, so here's the thing. We may see premonitions, but we're not going to get visuals anymore. It's just, yeah, she'll...
from behind.
this reenactment Ryan just gave. Oh my God, that was funny.
But do you think that's crazy, Rob? Like, if someone, a Charmy out there, again, yes, it's a spoiler, we're sorry. But if you hear that Phoebe doesn't have a premonition going into this in season 6 and you knowing that there's 2 more seasons left, you must be like, what? That's her power.
I know.
That's her power. What?
Chris orbs Phoebe to a place in the Middle East where they vanquish a demon and chase away another on a flying carpet. See, now I didn't realize that those were demons because a sword was thrown at them. And I know that they were kind of higher. But I mean, later in the episode, I think we do find out that they were either conjured or made or whatever from or summoned from that thief leader or whatever.
But how did Phoebe know? They were human. She just throws the potion.
It was weird. I guess the fact that they blew up is why. I don't know.
She's like, but oops, if they blow up, little, they're demons.
That was a little weird. Okay, so the one on the flying carpet drops a bottle and Phoebe dusts... Oh my God. Phoebe dusts it off and a genie appears. What in the hell? Okay, first of all, Phoebe, you know what a genie bottle looks like. This is bullshit. This is total bullshit. Even if you don't know, you at least know what I Dream of Genie is. You know what it is.
It's identical.
It's like, identical. And first of all, was it really that dusty? I mean, seriously, why is she wiping down bottles? Like, just pick it up, chill. Like, this is ridiculous. Really... I know. You know she was the other one who also dusted off the vase to the other genie? She did the same thing. She was like, what's written here? And then she just gives this big dramatic wipe of the vase. It's ridiculous. She is hilarious.
They know who to turn to when they need a genie plot. There you go.
Okay, so this flying carpet, though. Oh, my Lanta. This flying carpet. Okay, so is it the carpet?
Oh.
Is it T-Rexy? Or is it the sci-fi dragon? Which one is the best? Which one's the best?
God, nothing is as bad as that dragon to me. I have to say, so I'm gonna say I think T-Rex is up there, but this carpet, this was something. This was something. Why did I think in my head that the remasters were redoing all of the special effects? Because there was like a thing that I had seen that they added even more glass breaking in Charmed again when Paige was, controlled by the source and they were adding all these special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She calls herself Genie and admits that she had written the letter to ask Phoebe. Genie tells Phoebe that her last master was Bosk, who was cruel even for a demon. Chris is upset because Piper is with Greg. As he orbs after Piper, Phoebe...
Fireman?
I know, right? The fireman? I love that he forgot who Greg was. How do you forget Greg, okay? The man looks literally like you because he is a white lighter, and we just didn't know it, and you are his son, okay? You are blood relative.
Hot take, him or Dan?
Oh, Dan. No, nobody's going over
I'm
Dan.
I'm testing that loyalty. Okay.
Greg is a sweetheart, though, and we'll get to that later. But yeah, Greg is finally putting his foot down. Like, I'm sick of this. But yeah, Greg the Fireman. I love that line. He's so pissed. Okay. So Phoebe inadvertently makes her first wish to the genie that Chris wouldn't go. So Chris loses his power to Ord. Phoebe uses her second wish to give his powers back. And then Ginny tells Phoebe and Paige that Bossk is looking for Xanbar, which is a buried city of evil magic. Chris goes to Piper and tells her there's an emergency separating her from Greg. And then Chris tries to separate Piper from Greg permanently, but won't tell her why. Okay, so first I just want to discuss Bossk for a second. So Bossk is played by Mark Declan. And he is a dreamboat. He is so cute. I've seen him on so much stuff. And the man is always gorgeous in every single role he plays. More noticeable on Desperate Housewives and also this one season gem of a show called GCB, which starred Leslie Bibb and Kristen Chenoweth. And Annie Potts, like everybody was in this series,
damn.
But he was on that show and played the most sexiest and most lovable in the closet gay man on TV.
Oh.
He was adorable and he was married, had a kid, and the characters, as they were played out, the mom and dad, they knew about each other, like she knew he was gay, and they stayed married and together for the daughter and the family, and obviously the reputation because in Texas, yada yada. But he was allowed to have a relationship or like mess around with men. And she also even told him, "You do not have to be married to me." And he insisted that they stay married because they're best friends. He was such the character on there. And I loved his portrayal of a gay man on that show. Yeah, it was so good. So good. So I'm just saying that if you guys have access, look up GCB. It's a really good show, even though it was only one season, but I love Mark Declan. He's such a cool guy.
Well, when you say Bossk, though, I have to say, to bring up Star Wars, this is all I can think of when the name comes up. This is the name of this character from Star Wars, and it's a lizard man.
I've never heard of him. He looks like Sleestaks, though.
He looks exactly like even the hands, but this is Bossk, the bounty hunter. So I always think of this since back in the day.
But no, okay, so the whole exchange between Chris and Greg was amazing, and I love that Chris is now getting so fired up over Piper and Leo and who Piper is dating, and Greg answers the door, and he gives him this look, and then Chris is like, bitch, like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Chris is the gayest thing ever. He is the gayest thing ever. I love him. He's just, that response was just so shady. Like, too
that
funny.
That was his sass. You're right. That is sass. You
very
can't teach
sass.
That. That's
he was like,
that's
he was like, and I expected the head to bob. Oh, too good.
So Piper's dating again. She's back on the ball. You know, she took off.
It's funny that Greg let her back in because she swore off men. I would assume she officially broke off with him or ghosted him. I don't know which, but he's just totally chill back in the saddle again.
Because she's so sexy. I mean,
yeah,
you can't. Piper could do anything to these men.
Mm-hmm.
Leo's back to not trusting Chris again this week. Here we go. Flip flop.
Yeah. Yeah, weekly. I mean, it's just an overall progress report. Like, it's time for him to go. It is. Like, you've done more harm than good, and you're absent most of the time. Like, you're sleeping with white lighters. Like, we're good. You can go back to the future. You're no longer needed.
He, though, is like, if this was the point, though, this was so overdue at this point.
Yeah.
So it's just like now again, like wah, wah. Mm-hmm. And lovely Paige, the first thing she comes in is saying, "You bagged one to the about the genie," because I love she wasn't involved with the original genie plot from season two, but this is such a Paige line. I wonder if Rose ad-libbed this in, like, "You bagged one." It's like so funny. And I don't know if you noticed, Rob, that black outfit, when there's a scene there, during this is happening, Richard is like putting earrings on her and magically. So we're seeing that Richard is using his magic nonstop now.
Yeah.
He's come out of his closet room.
what did they call it? The dark magic room or something?
The dark, yeah. He's like, what is she doing? What is he doing with this magic room? Yeah, this is her promo outfit. I don't know if it's one of these outfits that they used for like the season 6 photos.
It did look familiar. I thought it was her, you know, singing debut dress, but yeah, that
similar,
dress did look,
similar, yeah. Yes.
So Boss flies through the attic window on his carpet. Phoebe throws a potion, but Bosk is wearing the Eye of Agbar. So in a previous scene, he is roaming through sort of the bazaar, and this leader of thieves or whatever gives him the Eye of Agbar, which blocks witch's powers. And it was a really nice, like, pendant, too. I liked the look of it. So it protects him. And so Phoebe wishes Ginny free, and Ginny throws a fireball coming out in her onesie. Love it.
She looked good. I liked her transformation. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. So she vanquishes Bosk, and then Ginny flies away on Bosk's carpet. Phoebe finds that she is stuck in the bottle, and that Chris, who had first picked up the bottle, is her master. Leo later reads the Arabic inscription on the bottle, which states that Ginny was a demon cursed to grant the wishes of others, and that whoever freed Ginny would be forced to switch places with her.
It's right here, right? Of course.
So Leo tells Chris that he is to be sent back to his own time, and that he has done more harm than good as a white lighter. An angry Chris then wishes Leo would just get over it, being angry with him, and then which Phoebe grants. So there's a lot to talk about here, because what wasn't discussed was that Paige is having a conversation with Richard about his use of magic. And she tries to once again convince him that magic is not needed to make her happy. All he says is, I want to make you happy. Let me do this for you. Girls would love it to be showered with jewelry. And so she asks him to stop using magic, and she is not like most women. So you need to let that go, right? And so he doesn't listen, of course. And my thing is if you want to make her happy and she's literally telling you what it is that's going to make her happy, then don't do it. Stop using magic. Like,
it's dude. That, yeah, it's that addict mentality that he has, unfortunately. This.
Yeah. So I love when Phoebe is summoned out of the bottle and immediately she is just pouting. But then you've got Piper. Notice she's sitting this entire episode, yep, right? Yep. No matter where she is, let me find me a chair. And it's not like you tired, it's to hide that belly.
You're right, she sat in every, yeah, Greg's. Yeah.
But I love that she, you know, just got a chuckle out of this. And she's just like, oh, whatever. And then she looks in the mirror and she's like, why do I get stuck with the wig? That to me seemed like a very meta fourth wall breaking line, because Piper says, trust me, you don't.
Right. Yes.
And I love it too, because it's just because she's a genie, it's funny that she had to be blonde. So isn't that technically her real hair? Or does this genie really have a wig on? And why? So technically that should be her real hair. So it's funny they brought up a wig.
That should be her real hair, of course. So again, is it one of those ad libs, because they keep coming up with these like charmed bloopers that we see leaking online, and you see that they do the scenes over and over, and then they just keep changing stuff. So, but it is a weird, it's funny to us, of course, but it's a weird line to have as in the series.
Yeah. And I just love Piper. Leo, she just does the call, and she does it in the same infliction. It's so funny. But once Chris makes his wish to Leo, I do think it's really cute and adorable how happy and laid back he gets afterwards. Mm. I thought it was really cute the way he was like, oh, of course I forgive like, you. Yeah.
So our Jenny, the genie, damn, she flies out that window. She jumps. She does like a Lara Croft running jump.
She took a dive. Yeah. Thing.
Damn, that was a cool, again, on this beautifully CGI rendered carpet, but damn, she flew out. And I love the callback to this genie plot that the genies can't be trusted. Yeah, it's a thing. But I almost wish that she was a good character because she was so adorable before this. So adorable as this, like, yes, master.
And you wonder if it was an act because she was under the genie's curse, or was that really her because of the curse? You know, like, was she just pretending to be super nice and, like, vulnerable? Or
I think so, sadly. But she would have been so cute. It would have been a cute, like, call back again that these genies aren't really inherently evil or good kind of thing.
Now, I honestly don't blame Phoebe for making that wish. I mean, she did the right thing. It's just, you know, based on experience, this worked without any consequence. This just happens to be one genie that has sort of a clause in it.
Right. And I feel like the wish that Chris made, in the, you know, because he was taken by emotions at that point, it came out really natural. It's not just like one of these things that, oh, I just did a wish. You know, it was like, I wish you would just, you know, like this passion. So it was a natural slip, I thought.
Yeah, definitely.
Paige is at Richard's house and has summoned the ghost of his family for a magical intervention because she is worried about his use of magic. Richard, however, refuses to admit a problem and, angry at Paige for interfering, teleports out. Ginny takes control of Bosk's demon gang, who believe they have found Sandbar. Chris urges Leah to get back with Piper, but he is unwilling. I love this. He's writing the note to forgive him at this point.
I know. This is important. Let me write this real quick.
Finally, Chris uses his second wish to get Piper and Leo to sleep together. Phoebe tricks him, however, by forcing them to physically fall asleep next to each other. Two demons attack. Paige vanquishes them, and Ginny follows. Paige catches Ginny in a crystal cage. Oh, crystal circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love when she does that.
I do love it too.
But Richard grabs the bottle and shimmers away. Chris admits to Paige that he is Piper and Leo's son after creeping her out when he told her second wish. Beautifully acted by Rose.
Her face, she's just like, oh my God, you sick, you pervert. She just said every name in the book.
Registered sex offender from the future. Oh my God. And also her acting when she says, she thinks she could scare me to the genie. Cause she's like, I'll put you in the microwave.
Oh yeah.
After this. And did you notice, Rob, that it wasn't under the same piece of furniture, but the bottle flies under a piece of furniture in that like garden room or
the conservatory.
Conservatory. Right. So again, is it a callback? Is it just easy to have a bottle be lost under a piece of furniture? But I mean, love seeing it again.
That room has really nice lighting, so I mean, why not have your demon fights in the most lit room in the house?
That's true. It's a pretty room. I'd like to hang out in there. So the ghost intervention, I do love this, that there's ghosts from the past. You know, random ghosts. Again, it's like when we have the witch gatherings and these things when it's like random family members. Oh, there's an 1800 family that Richard never saw, but he's coming on in. But it's cute. It's a great idea. And I love that Paige says something like, you're not you when you use magic. And I think that's a great metaphor for people who do have addiction.
Of course. You know, yes, definitely.
They're not themselves when they're under the influence. So it's not a heavy, again, this magic addiction isn't done in a heavy way, but it's a great metaphor for addiction. Just finally, Paige looking back, Rob, when she sees that Chris is looking at the two of them sleeping, and she's like, oh my, like, wow, that's her nephew. But did you think that she took it too easy? Like, it was just like in a second and she just accepted it? Or you kind of think that she might have been intuitively feeling like, okay, this is natural?
Well, I don't think I really don't think this is hard to believe. I mean, yeah, it comes as a shock and, you know, you kind of have to get used to the news, but it's like, why would you lie about something like that? Because it doesn't benefit anything by saying that.
That's true.
So with the intervention, it kind of sucks that we didn't get more of a deeper sort of dive into Richard's past and character and whatnot. I mean, he's not too much of a side character, but he is, right? So why put in so much work? We had all those family members there, ghosts included, and they didn't even get to speak. It's like, what was the point of the intervention if nobody else is going to talk? I actually forgot that there was a woman sitting on a chair because she didn't say anything. And I know that they don't want to pay all of these actors and actresses to speak on behalf, but it's just like, this intervention sucks. But honestly, I'd have been like, boy, bye. Do you see his attitude and the way he just left? I'd have been like, do you know how easy it is for me to just walk away from all of this? Like, I don't care. I don't care.
I am the books. No,
I know. I'd be like, peace, bitch. Honestly, I get that Paige has love for this dude, and I do believe her compassion to help him, but I don't see them as a match. I really don't. And I'm not saying that it should be easy for Paige to walk away too, but for me, I'm like, this character hasn't given me anything to give two shits. The moment he walked out, I'd have been like, peace. And when he stole the bottle, like, what the deuce? Like, I'd be like, oh, you are so done. And I'd vanquish your ass. Give me something. Give me some. Ooh. Give me some. Give me a reason. Give me a reason. I mean, seriously, okay. He's just going to take away the bottle.
But what if he looked like Dan, Rob? Huh?
First of all, Dan would do this because he's a saint and he's perfect. So I'm not even worried about Dan. You know, Dan couldn't take it, her being a witch. And that was something that therapy would have helped. But he is not something like Richard who would just take a bottle and run.
Rob literally made, I was drinking some tea over here. And with him saying Dan is a saint and all that, a little just came out of my nose. I'm laughing.
Richard is trash. I am not worried about him. I can't. I can't with him. I can't. He's trash at this point. Paige, seriously, I wouldn't do it. But let's veer off from that. I do have a question for you, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is another What Would Prue Do? WWPD. All right, so the question that I have here for you, Ryan, is if Prue was here and it was her time to find out about Chris, do you think that she would find out along with Piper at the same time, or would she find out before Piper does, like the rest of the sisters? Also, would Prue tell Piper about Chris, or would she keep the secret?
Okay. First off, Rob, she'd be on the track before Chris even got to the present.
You
she would have
so.
Smelt it. She would have been like, Balthazar, Cole, Chris. Okay. I do think she would have been the one to find out. It would have been interesting to see. I it's cute that it's Phoebe at first, but I do think Prue likes to put clues together. Either they would have hated, they literally, like, she would have hated him, like, butting heads continuously. But I feel like once she found out, she would have found out early on. And I know she's not big on keeping secrets, but, you know, now you got me thinking, Rob, that maybe possibly she would, for the benefit of, you know, the future not changing events, she might keep it a secret. What do you think?
I think that Prue would definitely find out before Piper would. I mean, she would find out along with the rest of the sisters. I think the writers would have some way of her finding out. I think that Chris would have 24 hours to tell. Otherwise, I'm going to tell her. That Prue would just immediately do ultimatum. Like, we're not going to be holding on to this for long. I know that she doesn't want to disrupt the future, and it is something to think about. But at the same time, yeah, I think Prue would tell Chris, tell him now or I will. That's how I see
it. But do you think after, like, looking at him all, like, sweetly and touching his hand and saying that, I could just picture her doing this, like, very soft moment afterwards and then getting into, like, the heavy, but we have to tell him. We have to tell her. But after saying, like, I'm so happy.
I think she'd warm up to him for sure. Back at Richard's house, Paige tries to throw a power-stripping potion at Richard, but he repels it and knocks Paige flat. Whoa, see, now we're getting to the point of...
Trash!
You're hitting people now. You're hitting me out of the way. And she flew. Oh, she flew. God, that house is big. At the manor, though, Chris opens the door to find Greg, who is surprising Leo on his... Surprising Piper on his lunch break. I don't know where this firehouse is and the fact that he has time to, like, show up, but that's sweet. So then Chris doesn't invite him in. Greg insists, like, you're lying. Tell me where Piper is. And then Chris is like, okay, come on in. I'll show you what's going on. And she shows Greg that Leo and Piper are asleep together. He even does a wave of the hand and pushes Piper more into his arms. Greg's face looked so defeated. I felt bad for Greg at this point. Another innocent bystander that does not deserve this. And it's just like, yeah, we all want Piper and Leo together, but why do these men have to be hurt in the process? Like, this dude
Piper shouldn't be dating.
Thank you. No, I just really felt bad for Greg at this point. And it was just the way that he was gloating too. You know, Chris puts his hand over his, you know, arm and was like, those are the breaks. And it's kind of mess.
Do you think, though, it's also like it sucks because he's like, oh, my God, she's clearly cheating on me and she already broke up with me or whatever. Stopped talking to me weeks ago, like you were mentioning earlier. And it turns out, yeah, she's still banging her ex.
But I love the fact that Chris is there while those two are sleeping next to each other on a couch.
Yeah.
The whole situation is weird. But my thing is that even when Chris answered the door to talk to Greg, it's just this shot of you can see the back of Greg's head and Chris is in the doorway. And I'm like, you two are related. You have the same hair, the same, like you are related. That is your daddy and you know it.
Oh my God.
This is something else that I noticed at this point of the episode is that it feels that we didn't get hardly any scenes with the sisters all together in one room. There was only one scene, and it was when Paige came back and found that, you know, Phoebe is a genie now. But other than that, they were all separated. You only got two out of the three charmed ones together in one scene almost throughout the rest of the episode. It feels like this is kind of what the new Charmed is doing.
Thank you. I was biting my tongue. I was gonna say this sounds like Charmed reboot,
but yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking about it too hard, but yeah, there were hardly any scenes with the three of them together in this one.
And invisible demons, and there you go.
So Jenny frees herself by summoning her carpet. Threatening the sleeping Leo and Piper, she orders Chris to take her to the bottle. He does so, and Jenny gets the bottle, wherein now resides Richard. So Richard frees Phoebe, which I thought was a very nice, like, thing for him
Did
to do.
Did he win he back points, trash points?
No, I'm over him. I'm over him at this point. But Jenny wishes the charmed ones dead. Then orders Richard into the bottle. Piper's ghost floats over her body, but Leo pulls her close, heals her in her sleep, and causing her ghost to return to her body. Ryan, do we call shenanigans at all on Leo healing Piper the way he did?
Yes.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Yes. I think it is shenanigans. I agree, Rob. Yeah, it's unexplainable. It's really, but okay, we'll believe it. Love is strong.
I don't have any concrete evidence of this, but I do think that this was not supposed to happen in the way that it did. And they do kind of explain why, and it's very touching and romantic, but as far as how the powers work, I'm not buying this one, but yay, save the day.
Chris says that he's a booty call, Greg. He's like, here for your booty call or something like that. I love that. I do love the part where also Phoebe says, your boyfriend's going a little woohoo. That was a funny Alyssa line.
Yeah, I agree.
And we talked about this on the other show, Rob, but Sean Hunter hair? Does Chris not have the most Sean Hunter hair?
Of course he does.
Boy Meets World, for anyone who doesn't know, 90s hair. It is full on point today. That little thing that he does, like this pose, the sad look that they're dead. It's when they're dead, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, he looks over and he's like, his lips are all quivering and his hair is in front of his eyes.
Oh. He was like, I'm sorry, I had to. They were going to kill mom and dad.
You're right. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm just like, I love Chris. He's so sweet.
Phoebe and Paige were revealed not to have moved on. Because the wish was for the Charmed Ones to die, and as Piper was healed, the others could not die. The ghosts of Phoebe and Paige stabilize, i.e. are stopped from moving on, and wisp to haunt Jenny as she wishes for the return of Xanbar. The city rises and the ghosts of Phoebe and Paige arrive with Chris. Phoebe possesses Jeannie and uses her body to vanquish the demons and wishes Richard free. Richard switch places with Jenny, and Jenny is now back in the bottle. Richard wishes the Charmed Ones to be alive again, and then he also gives Chris the bottle after wishing Xanbar to be hidden again.
I do believe this. Like, out of all of the shenanigans, I believe that it makes sense that Phoebe and Paige didn't move on because the spell was for the collective charm.
Yes, definitely.
One. So that's the only part out of this whole weird healing, saving their lives thing that works for me. So Richard is discussing his problems with magic with Paige and shows her that he has finally, reluctantly, taken the power stripping potion. Are we sure he didn't throw it in a tree? A la tonic from early on.
Yeah.
Leo and Piper awaken, and Leo is given the bottle to get rid of. Piper thought on awakening that she was dreaming and tells Leo that he healed her in her sleep. Piper and Leo orb out to get Wyatt, leaving Chris to wonder out loud, what about me? Phoebe sensing and seeing their connection reaffirms hope for her nephew. Does she really? Does she really, though?
I like when Piper was like, oh my god, that's so sweet of you to heal me and make me alive again. I'm like, well, duh, bitch. He's not gonna let you die. But I guess because he heard her in his sleep that it was sweet of him to activate his power. I don't know. It was just a funny line. Like, just because you're divorced doesn't mean he can't do nice things for you or doesn't want to. So it's not like he went out of his way to save your life. Like, it was,
you're
just
gonna say, exactly, you're gonna save me, the mother of your child, the charmed ones that, you know, protect the world that you
are so sweet. But I also thought it was super cute. He was like, you want to come up, get Wyatt with me? She was like, yeah, why not? Sure. Fuck a Greg. I don't, you know, Greg who? I remember I was standing him up.
Like, well, what's she going to say? What is Chris going to say now?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't even get any closure with Greg either. It's just like, okay, time to smash.
She's like, not even like, she's not even thinking like, oh shit. Can you, what is Piper going to come up with? Excuse? Like, she can't even call him and be like, yeah, how am I going to explain this one? I was just fell asleep with my ex-husband. Rose's acting in this last scene with Richard was, to me, I loved it. I loved the whole scene. And I do love that she says that she sees the good in him as well, to give him hope. And I just really, truly enjoyed it. And I really feel like Rose brought it in that scene. It was, I loved it. I loved it. Great acting all around. And we get that dramatic ending of, yeah, there might be hope for you too, Chris, just yet.
So that concludes the episode of I Dream of Phoebe. What did you think about this rewatch?
It's always been a cute episode. I mean, it is what it is. It's a theme episode, you know, like the WB promo, I'm sure, is just all Dream of Jeannie, you know, esque. But it's fun. It's a callback to the genies of the past, and it does further the plot, or at least now we got Paige in the collective. Everyone kind of, half of them know right now, so we just need Piper and Leto to find out about Chris.
Yeah. I did find this episode to be fun. It was nice to get sort of this elevated villain of the week. Like, you think it's Boss, but it's actually the genie. So we get like a little added bonus with that, you know, more shenanigans with trying to keep the secret. And, you know, there were a lot of story, you know, progression, especially with the whole Richard thing. It was nice to see that Phoebe was able to let him go.
Right.
Because he did drink the potion, all is good, but, you know, her doing magic around him is still going to be triggering. She made the decision to move on, and I think that's awesome of her to be able to do that and have the strength to do that. So, I mean, like, I like this episode. I think it's fun. So, yeah, I thought it was a good one. All right, so I do have some notes from this episode. Again, this is the final episode of Balthazar Getty. Richard Montana, you know... Nice knowing you.
Bye. I do think he's so cute. I don't know. There's something really cute about Richard.
So the jewelry that Paige was given through Richard via magic and whatnot, this is the exact same jewelry that alternate Phoebe was wearing in Centennial Charmed. So when she's all hoeing it up with the demon assistant and guards, yeah, that's the same jewelry.
Magic, and not only that, magic pawn shop.
Yeah.
Pawned off jewelry that Richard's getting from alternative universes.
So technically, Piper dies for the sixth time, Phoebe the sixth time, and Paige the seventh time. Paige came in later.
666. That would be crazy. Right?
But Paige is caught up and exceeded deaths over the two charmed ones, and she has like, they have like 3 years over her. How does this happen? Paige, what are you doing? Why are you getting dead all the time?
She's like Prue. She runs into action.
That's too funny. But I believe this is the only episode in which all of them die at the same time. Yeah. So also, there were elements of this episode, of course, that is based on the popular 60s sitcom I Dream of Jeannie. This is noticeable by the costume, the bottle that were used, and the episode title is also a reference to the show. Paige also references similarities of Phoebe's costume to Jeannie, saying, "Shouldn't you be helping Major Nelson?" So this show has I Dream of Jeannie in existence, and yet Phoebe still didn't know any better to just be wiping bottles down. It's
yep.
All right, so we haven't done this in a while, so I'd like to bring back our segment on the fashion that happens in this episode. All right, so first thing that I want to say is when Phoebe and Chris go to the Middle East, Chris notices some bones that are like on the ground or whatever. He walks in with a hoodie, you know, very casual. But when he's bending down to look at the bones, he's wearing his leather jacket that he wears later in the episode. And so, but when he lifts back up, he's got the hoodie on again.
Oh my God.
If you play this back, when he bends over right before Boss comes in, or before the demons come in and the sword is thrown, he's wearing his leather jacket. So they totally messed up on that. But I do like his leather jacket, which is the, you know, the point of the thing. But they did kind of mess up there. Also, I enjoyed Phoebe's genie outfit costume. I love the blue. I thought it was really cute. And, you know, I could do without the wig. I don't know why they didn't let her keep her hair and just make it longer. But, yeah, I dug her outfit. I thought it was also cool that each genie outfit was catered to the person who was trapped.
Yeah,
it wasn't
smart.
The same for everyone.
Smart.
I thought that was great. And, of course, best outfit today, I think, goes to Paige with her green top. It just flowed off her shoulders. She looked good in it. I love the color of the green. It was nice, wasn't it? It just stood out throughout the rest of the episode,
her hair,
right?
It worked with her hair color. This, I believe, is the last time we see it this color. I think it goes dark after this, if I remember.
Oh, does it? Yeah. So yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in on the fashion.
Love it.
All right, it is time for Hot Man Meter. Right, so today we have two guys to go over today, as most of them are repeats. We have Mark Declan as Boss the Demon with his little lightning power. Did you see his little, like, spirits of lightning that shoot out of his hands?
This lower level demon. That's your power too, right? That's...
Poor thing. It is one that I like. Maybe not in that exact form, but poor guy. Does this gentleman make your top 10 list?
Oh, Rob, he does. And I'm looking at my list right now, and I'm so sad that one of these hot men have to leave. Bosk is going in number 9. Bye, Jason.
Oh, Jason Dean's not on the list anymore.
Jason, I'm so sorry. Yes.
Too bad. So you found him to be handsome then.
Oh, yes. Better than that lizard, as I said.
Much. Yeah, Bosk is definitely going on my list. I thought he was adorbs in this and really rugged, handsome. Love that jawline. Yeah, he is going. Oh, my goodness. He's going over Oscar. Wow. Yeah, he's cuter than Evan Marriott. Yeah, he's my number 3. Crazy. Yeah, no, he looks really good.
Where's
so
Greg
that means
on that list, by the way, I forgot.
Greg is number 2. Yeah. Yeah. I think Greg is cuter cuz I like the more boy next door look. And so that means that one of the male models from our bachelor or lingerie gathering is gone.
Oh, John Fleming is still on there for me. He's above Bosk, number 8.
Then we have our demonic 40 Thieves leader. This was the one who was sort of assisting Bosk and Genie in their findings of Xanbar. This is played by Joey Naber. Do you find this gentleman to be hot enough to make your list?
No, I'm sorry. He does not. My list is bursting at the seams.
I'm going to pass on this gentleman as well, but this demon 40 Thieves leader might make your list, Charmy, so make sure to update your list. And at the end of the season, I will be gathering all of your top 10 lists to put together a Charmy Hotman meter for season 6. Also, remember, Genie could be a contender for hottest woman, hottest female, so make sure to keep that female list updated. And you can pick one hot female for your list as well. All right. Did you have an MVP this week, Ryan?
I'm giving it to Rose. Excuse me. I'm giving it to Paige. I'm giving it to Paige. I mean, like Rob said, they did split the sisters up. I feel like they equally got stories, or at least part of the storyline. But I feel like all of a sudden, halfway through, Paige kind of like shined. I think it was that crystal cage. You know, anytime you give her the crystal cage, she's winning in my book.
Okay. No, that's
and
fair.
And then Richard, the end scene with Richard, really loved her whole performance.
I am going to give MVP to Phoebe this week. I thought her performance as the genie was hilarious. I loved her scarf outfit sort of in the beginning. I thought it was really cute too. And I don't know, it's just some of the mannerisms and the way that she was trying to channel just being able to do what she wants, but then also under Chris's command. And then her running back and forth trying to get the bottle to tip over was pretty funny too.
Yeah.
So I think Phoebe really carried the episode in this one. My play of the week goes to Paige for her crystal circle command. So yes, definitely play of the week for me. I love that. That was really good.
And that was going to be my play of the week. But you know what? We're reversing roles this week. And I'm going to say the play of the week to me is Chris bringing in Greg to see them sleeping on that couch.
That was dirty. Yeah, that is definitely a good play. Oh, yeah, that was dirty. The fireman?
The booty call?
All right, I think that's going to do it for our episode. Next week on Charmed, the courtship of Wyatt's father.
His father.
All right, now we all know what goes down in this one. Bow, shaka, bow, wow. Courtship of Wyatt's father. Yeah, we know this one. So here's the thing. I don't have too much memory of this particular episode. I kind of feel that it's a little bit of a downer. I don't know. Not like sad or whatever. It's just kind of like lackluster because we're just waiting for the inevitable to happen. But maybe the rewatch will change my mind. I just don't remember all that happens in it. But yeah. Bow. Chicka wow. Wow. All right.
You bring the aphrodisiacs next week, Charmies.
All right. Well, we are definitely going to have another episode next week. So tune in next Sunday for another episode and enjoy your Sunday brunch or whenever you are listening to this episode. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye, Charmies.
Bye, Charmies.
Charmed. If they don't bring these two together...
Oysters? They're aphrodisiac?
In 24 hours...
I can't believe how hard it is to get two people caged.
They could kiss the world goodbye.
Where did I go?
All new Charmed. Midnight Rendezvous.